Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning. Thanks for the invitation.
Oh, thank you so much for talking to us today. So I guess I'll just start with a pretty basic question revolving around the Australasian region. When did it get put on the map for research revolving around human evolution?
Well, as I say, back in the 1890s was when the first Homo erectus skeleton was found. So Asia's always had a little bit of a look in, but really the great discoveries that have really started turning people's heads has only been in the last couple of years when Maxwell Baer and Adam Brumm found the world's earliest rock art wasn't actually in France, as we long believe, but actually in Sulawesi in Indonesia. So that was a major finding. And then more recent excavations by that team as well as colleagues at the ANU has been finding all kinds of artifacts, including jewellery and fish hooks, more evidence for rock art that is really showing that the people in this region were as complicated and as creative as those that were in Europe.
Yeah, right. So new research has discovered that our earliest recognisable modern ancestors could have lived 310,000 years ago, which is longer than originally thought. And they weren't found in Eastern or Southern Africa, but in Morocco. How does this change the way we look at human history?
Well, I mean, things have been getting more complicated in Africa as many more fossils are being found and new studies are being undertaken. And as I understand it, this new fossil was recently dated with dating techniques much better nowadays than they were 10 years ago. And we were able to find that he was much earlier than thought. And because he was in North Africa, we're starting to wonder whether it wasn't just one group that evolved into our modern form, but perhaps a few different groups located in different parts of Africa that would come together and then fall apart just in their day-to-day lives that resulted in how we are today.
Right. Yeah. You mentioned groups of maybe different types of humans, so like the new and old and modern humans. So something I found really interesting in your article on The Conversation, which anyone listening in can check out right now, was the fact that new and old humans actually socially interacted. Does this change the traditional way we looked at how the humans evolved?
Absolutely. With all the new DNA, ancient DNA analyses that have been undertaken by a few groups around the world, we now have evidence that, you know, we were interbreeding with Neanderthals in some places, and there was interaction with other more ancient, perhaps, hominids like the Denisovans, which is a group we don't even really have proper fossils for. We just have a couple of finger bones and some teeth and a DNA code for. So things are getting much more complicated in that people argued for a long time whether we interbred with Neanderthals or not, and DNA settled that one, but it's also pointed out that it wasn't just us and them, it was us and a few other them.
Right. Did that affect, like you hear survival of the fittest, I'm sure, a lot. Was that a case for the people, the humans that did breed with these old humans and Neanderthals and so on?
Well, it's very complicated. We're still trying to work out what happened to Neanderthals. It's probably much more than just us overrunning them. I'm sure in some areas they fought, and in other areas we would have won or they would have won. And this is a complex group of people who'd been living in Europe for hundreds of thousands of years. So I'm sure they were plenty capable of looking after themselves.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure in other regions, you know, things would have been maybe more friendly and maybe they traded, we don't know. Or maybe they just were aware of each other and stayed out of each other's way.
Wow. That's actually really interesting. Like, you don't really hear about, you know, like kind of similar species of humans interacting with each other in that kind of way.
Yeah, so we're only really starting to understand this more with the DNA analyses that are coming out. There was a couple of skeletons that people thought maybe this is a mix between modern humans and Neanderthals, but it's difficult to tell.
Right.
But the DNA, you know, is, you know, much, much better for that. And as far as the artifacts were concerned, we've long argued whether some artifacts that appear in Neanderthal sites very late were because they were mimicking what they saw on modern human people moving into the region, so particularly in terms of jewellery. For a long time, you don't see jewellery in Neanderthal sites, and then at the end, there's quite a bit of it. And people have argued whether they were just copying us and not understanding what they're doing, or whether it was independently being developed by them, perhaps because all of a sudden there's these new and strange-looking people turning up in their country, and they need trying to band together.
You did mention jewelry and other creative, tools and socially kind of, but creativity is a major hallmark of being a human. How does the new data in Asia and Australia tell us more about the history of human creativity?
Yeah, so a few years ago, researchers were looking back through those collections originally dug up in the late 1800s. And one researcher was, just scrolling through photos from the museum and spotted what looked to be a zigzag carved on a shell. So he got colleagues in Europe to check that out, and he was right. And the interesting thing was that this one was carved by Homo erectus, and it's really the only good example we have of Homo erectus doing some kind of art type thing, is that you don't put a zigzag on a shell for any kind of subsistence or technology reason. He was like, he was doodling.
Yeah, right. Mm. Very similar to today's humans.
Yeah.
Creativity also feeds into innovation. So has research from Australia and Asia told us more about how we used and developed tools?
Yeah. So Australia in particular is coming up with new things now. We've got more excavations going up in the north where people would have arrived, and some of my new colleagues have found the world's earliest edge ground axes, so big stone axes that were ground into a beautiful oval shape, is something that was invented in Australia. And then we've also got a very early bone tool. And while bone tools would have been invented in Africa, this one, when looking at the tiny microscopic marks on it, we were able to argue that it was most likely a nose bone. So the ornaments that Aboriginal Australians wore through their nasal septum all over the country.
Oh, wow.
You might see in photographs. And some people still will wear them today. So it's something that is the earliest bone jewellery identified in the world at the moment, though I'm sure there'll something else will turn up.
Yeah, it always is. What's the main difference of research conducted and found in Australia to that of other continents such as Africa and Europe?
Oh, the best thing about Australia is that, as far as we know now, only modern humans got here. So everything we found in Australia were made by modern humans. We don't have to work out who left behind all the rubbish that we're interested in.
Yeah, right.
So that makes things a lot simpler. The other good thing is that we still have all the traditional owners to talk to, and they have a lot of information and stories and things that can make us look at what we're finding in a different light. So they can really help us out with understanding what we're looking at.
Definitely, and that feeds into the creativity and all the rock art that tell the stories through as well.
Yes, exactly.
That's a fantastic point to leave on there, Michelle. Thank you so much for joining us on The Daily today.
No problem. Thank you.